70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's gonna be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkel of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right, because Pastor Dunkel is on the airway. Yeah. Amen. When Solomon finished praying, fire descended from heaven and consumed the blunt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests were not able to enter the Lord's temple because the glory of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord. All of the Israelites were watching when the fire descended and the glory of the Lord came on the temple. They bowed down their faces to the ground on the pavement. They worshiped and praised the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love, his mercy endures forever. May God bless the reading here of his divine word. I want to share with you from a question. What does the church really need? What does the church really need? When I say church, I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about the saints of God. I'm talking about those that have accepted Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Born again, baptized believers in Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about this building, because this is where the church meets. This is the canticle that covers the church. What is it that we really need? We need help. We need strength. We need each other. We need finances. We need a home, house, castle. In some cases, we need a car. All of those things that we need. But apart from that, what is it that we really need more than anything else? Salvation. What I heard someone say, salvation. And I pray that all that's present this morning has salvation. Amen. But I find myself seeing the greatest need of the church today is a heaven-sent revival. Not a man-made or program-generated revival, but a revival straight from the strong room of God on high. Man can't produce it. Never has there been a preacher who could preach it up. It will be because of the sovereignty of God that has intervened into the lives of his people. The church needs a spiritual awakening, peacemaking, love lifting, joy restoring, soul shocking, sanctifying, and Holy Ghost filled revival. Church services will take on a new face with a heaven-sent revival. It will not be service as usual. It won't be start church at 11 o'clock sharp, end at 12:30 dull. The real revival is not built on emotions, sensational thoughts of yesteryear. It's not eyes full of tears that can be done by the flesh. It's not shouting that can be done by the flesh too. It's not a large crowd. A circus can attract crowds. It is not folks just getting saved, but it's people that are filled with the Holy Ghost and are willing to stand on the word and do what doth say the Lord. The word revival literally means to live again. It's returning to a life of obedience to God's word, his will, and his way. Oh, I understand that many churches have plush carpeting, dazzling chandeliers, and robe choirs, and padded pews, and active ladies' ministry. They still need a revival. Revival is God sending forth his showers of blessing upon dry parched souls. Ezekiel 34:26. Revival is God turning on the light in an otherwise dark and dreary life. Revival is where lukewarm may come to the boiling point and get on fire for God. Revival is when hungry souls come to the banquet table that is spread for whosoever will let them come. For many Christians, the fire has gone out. Hearts have grown cold. Enthusiasm has died. Spiritual hunger is missing. Heavenly desires have vanished. And the interest in living a life for the glory and honor of God has left. And we desperately need reviving, my Lord. I can remember when the community used to come together for revivals. And when you left the revival, you was on fire for the Lord. But now, we leave the revival seem like worse than we were when we got there, for whatever reason. We don't leave excited for the Lord. Don't leave full of enthusiasm for the Lord. Don't leave with a hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. But we leave saying, didn't he preach? Oh, he preached. But if I ask you what was the subject, ask you what the script was, all you'll be able to say, I just know he preached. But you ought to have gotten something tangible now to hold on to when the revival is over. Yeah, yeah. King Solomon has prayed for God for the dedication of the temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 12 through 42. Here, there you find the king kneeling before the throne of God. In Solomon's day, the king didn't kneel, the people kneeled before him. But Solomon, with his respect and reverence for God, kneeled. But now when you read the prayer, he's not talking about the building. But he's talking about the people. And he's saying how God will watch over them, guide them and lead them. And he's asking God to forgive them when they sin. Here now, after he has prayed, he turns now to the people. And the question is asked, how will we know when the revival has come? Well, first of all, you will sense the presence of the Holy Spirit within you. You will sense his presence. For the text says that when he had finished praying, fire descended from heaven. Fire came down from heaven. And as I look at this, this revival didn't start until after prayer. And I come to tell you, nothing has changed. For God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if the church is to be revived, it will be after there has been sincere prayer to God. Most important ministry of the church is prayer. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. No prayer, no power. You're going to do what God has asked us to do. We're going to have to kneel down in prayer. Before we worship God, we ought to pray. Before we praise God, we ought to have prayed to God. I know when I was growing up as a child, folks was praying before they got to church. On Sunday morning, they didn't wait until they got to the church to pray. But they had been praying all week long. And they didn't have those air-conditioned chariots that we ride in now. I can remember when you could count the people that had cars on one hand in Winfield. They walked with their nice shoes in their hands, barefoot, got to church and washed their feet, dirt off of them, got a little bacon oil and rubbed them down. Everybody almost smelled like bacon then. But they were able to worship God. Amen, amen. You didn't have to beg nobody to pray. Didn't have air conditioning. Had to let the windows up. Devotion would last sometimes for an hour. Oh, you always had three prayers. You always had three prayers from the altar. And over here, the brother would say, prayer continue. Over here, the sister would say, prayer continue. And after a while, the whole church was on fire for the Lord in the prayer and devotion. The femur or the pure and fine presence of God. After Solomon had prayed to God, the fire represented the fact that God had accepted Solomon's prayer and had accepted their sacrifices. You know, when you look at the Bible, God sent fire when Aaron the priest blessed the people of God. Also, when Elijah the prophet called upon God on Mount Carmel, he sent fire. And now, after Solomon the king has offered prayer and sacrifices to God, God responds by sending fire down and consuming all of the sacrifices. And you know, on the day of Pentecost, after they had been in prayer, chapter 1 said they were with one accord and they continue in prayer. And on Pentecost, the 50th day, the Holy Ghost came down like a mighty rushing wind, and there were tongues of fire on their tongue. Representing the presence and power of God. And we find that in the text there, that when this happened, that all of the people, they bowed down in reverence and respect to God. They bowed their face to the ground to show God that they honored him. When we come off our high horses, show full honor and respect for God, we'll see a different in the church. And I believe, my darling, you ought to be tired of dead religion, tired of dead praying, dead preaching, dead teaching, dead singing. You ought to be tired of cold, ice cold church service. You ought to want a real Holy Ghost feel, Holy Ghost on fire service on Sunday morning. You ought to come Holy Ghost feel, Holy Ghost ready.
Amen.
No substitutes, cheap substitutes for worshiping God. And when revival comes, the presence of God will be recognized, and the anointing of God will be present, and the whole church will be on fire for the Lord. In other words, you will be under the constraints of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, when the revival comes, we will witness the glory of the Lord. But the text says that the glory of the Lord fill the house. God's glory fill the house. Reminds me of Isaiah, where God's train, it filled the temple. And his glory was so magnificent, his glory was so big, so powerful, that even the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord. Because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. And God's glory was manifest, that the priests could not do their priestly services in the temple. And when true revival comes and breaks out, the glory of God will be manifest. And the focus won't be on men and women in the ministry. The center of our attention will be Jesus. Eyes won't be on the preacher. Folks won't be concerned about the color of your dress, your shirt, your suit, your tie. Won't be concerned about what you're wearing this particular Sunday. Look like you had that on last Sunday. Won't be so particular. Won't worry about all of that. Won't worry about in the preacher that the rev is picking on us and all of that. You will see that it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And I need help, Lord. You'll be witnessing the glory of the Lord. There'll be a freedom to worship. You'll know revivals come when you see the fire fall and see the glory of the Lord in presence. And I don't know about you, but coming up as a child, and I always keep talking about my home, that's all I can talk about, that's what I know about. But you can sense the presence of God in the worship. It was a small congregation, small town, but you can sense his presence. And there are places you can go now, and you can sense the presence of God. In some places you go, you need an overcoat because it's so cold. When you witness his glory, witness his presence, you can worship him. And that's number three. Bible has come when you will see worship taking place. It won't be form and fashion. It won't be two songs, a few announcements, a prayer, a sermon, then the benediction. Won't be man-made structure. That'll go out the window. But we don't read Solomon having a structured program to follow. The wish it was spontaneously. Solomon didn't say, let's look up now. Let's sing now. Let's hear from the Lord now. Let's get up now. Well, certainly, there is nothing wrong with worship leaders. There's nothing wrong with order in the worship. But when revival comes, the program go out the window. And when you truly worship God, you don't need no motivation to worship God. You don't need nobody to say lights. Amen. Wall. Amen. When you know what the Lord have done for you, when you know where the Lord have brought you from, you ought to come to the house of the Lord to worship. You ought to come ready to pray, ready to sing. If you can't sing like me, just make a joyful noise. Ready to hear from the Lord. Ready to worship him and praise him. Not to worry about the program. You don't have to put your emphasis on that, but have your emphasis on the Lord. Now, let me back up now. I'm not saying that there ought not be a program. That's not what I'm saying. But when the Holy Ghost is in charge, just let him have his way. Well, there may be a prayer, he may want a song. There may be a time that we get caught up in praising God, that's all we need. And God, if we follow the Holy Ghost. But if we follow the program, we got to go A, B, C, D. But make sure the Holy Ghost is in charge. Of course, him. They got order, but yet they don't have a laid out program. And you'll see the giving picking up when there is real revival. One word that you see offered in the remaining of this chapter is offering. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 20,000 oxen. You see, it started with the leadership. 120,000 sheep. That was a spirit of giving. It was not pushed on the people. It was done freely in an act of worship. And the worship, the sacrifices were so great that the altar couldn't hold it. And he had to open up the coat and spread the offering out in the courtyard. But the giving picked up because the people had been revived. And they were now ready to worship and give to God. It ought to start with the leadership. Leaders ought to be the first to give. How can we influence others to give and we don't give? And I just believe in my heart that if God bless you with anything financially, you ought to be able to give him something. He asked for a tenth. But if he bless you with something, you ought to be able to give something. You ought not shortchange God because he's been too good to you. Still is good to us. You see the giving picking up. And finally, the attendance picked up. 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, 8 and 9th verse says, and there was a great assembly, a congregation. When the fire fell and the glory of the Lord was in the temple, it attracted a huge crowd. Revival took place. Crowds came. And I just believe Jesus said it himself, that I'll be lifted up from the earth. I will draw all men unto me. This verse speaks of the Lord's death on the cross. And when God sends a revival, the Holy Spirit will convict the lost and point them to Jesus. Places where there is a real revival, the church is growing. large crowds does not necessarily mean that there's a revival going on, church. But the revival will lead to church growth. Oh, you know, when Peter preached his first sermon, preached the gospel to the Jews in that second chapter of Acts. And the Bible says that when they heard this, it pierced their hearts. And they came running. What must we do to be saved? And at that first meeting, before Peter could open up the doors of the church, 3,000 souls came and were saved. Peter's emphasis was on Jesus. His preaching was on Jesus. And they had been filled with the Holy Ghost. And they had come out talking about the goodness of God. You go back and you read that second chapter. And they were speaking in the languages of the tongues of all of the people that were gathered in Jerusalem. And they were amazed. These are from Galilee. How can they speak our language? They must be drunk. He said, no. It's just the ninth hour. No, they're not drunk. But they are filled with the Holy Ghost. And when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you will act differently. When the revival comes, people will say you're acting strange. But that's all right. Because you're acting strange for the Lord. And when revival occurs, the slothful become active. The cold become hot. The greedy become generous. The rebellious become obedient. The worldly become sanctified. The proud become humble. The anxious become assured. Sinful become repentant. Resentful become forgiven. The hatred become lovers. We need a revival, a real mind renewing, soul shaking, God breathed, heaven sent, Bible based, Christ centered, sin convicting, life changing, heart warming revival. We need a revival within ourselves, but we need to be revived. We need to have a hunger and thirst for God's riches. We need Jesus on our side. And so glad Jesus, God's only begotten Son, so glad came down 40 and two generations. So glad walked the dusty streets of Palestine. So glad went about doing good and thought not of himself. Fed the hungry, gave sight to the blind. So glad everywhere Jesus was, there was a revival going on. Well, when he was at Bethesda, when all of those five porches were covered with sick people, and here this man was lame for 38 long years. And Jesus asked him, do you want to be made whole? And the man was like a whole lot of us. All he had was excuses. When I try to get up, somebody get in my way. And other times, I don't have anybody to lift me up. But that ain't what Jesus asked him. He asked him, do you want to be made whole? Same Jesus lifted him up and strength came in his legs. That same Jesus sent him away praising God. Ain't he all right? Jesus went to Lazarus' grave one day and there was a revival. He was revived. A four-day-old dead man was called out of the grave. Lazarus, he came out walking with his grave clothes on. Ain't God all right? That same Jesus went to Calvary and they had a revival.